You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Here's an excerpt, and I'm going to really try to be careful so I don't get kicked out. Excited now, he pushed into her. As she squeezed her eyes and tightly as she could, her tongue circled her lips. He pushed harder, his breath heavy and labored. She scratched his back, and he cried out. She bit his ear and pulled his hair. There's a lot more to it.
Yeah,
you are right.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
We have children at home.
I know you are
training, and it's really not a
problem. Don't you find the irony in that? You're exactly saying exactly what I'm telling you. You're giving it to our children.
Wow. There is irony in that. March 25, 2022. That was a Georgia parent addressing the Georgia school board. A mother concerned about sexually explicit content available to high school students in the district. And she said, I'm going to read some of it to you, and hopefully I won't be thrown out because of what I'm reading. Now, the school board meetings are also put up for those at home who can't go to the meetings or simply want to watch from home. They're available for those that can't actually attend. So while the Georgia school board parent is reading from one of these books, one of the board members says, excuse me, we have children at home. In other words, suggesting they might be watching you read this book, that passage from the book called Homecoming, and it's being broadcast live. It's kind of, and she, the parent said very clearly, do you not see the irony in that? Are you, oh boy, she did a better job of holding her temper than I would. But she went on to say, you say exactly what I say. You give it to our kids. I would never give that to my kids. Wow. Here's the deal. She was protesting not just the book, but that when you have a problem with a book, it takes forever, forever to get it removed. And this book is with several others that she listed. All of this on a required reading list for students in that Georgia High School District, the Cherokee County Board, I should point out, to be specific. She said, perhaps if you spend more time reading these books instead of calculating demographic statistics who submit the books, in other words, putting CRT in place to determine if books were written by black or white, do they propose black, white, whatever, and you would be caring more for our children. Are you saying we embarrass you? Will you embarrass us? I can't even mail this content to you, she said. I could be facing obscenity laws. Oh, I love what she did. And we're going to get in that in more detail in the second hour. Because this is at the heart. This is at the heart of everything that's being shoved down your children's throats. And maybe you know it, maybe you don't. But you damn well better wake up and put a stop to it. All right, and of course, we have a worldwide crisis. We are still be concerned about what's happening with Ukraine and Russia, obviously. Biden went to that NATO summit, and he made a remark that, well, whatever Russia does, it could trigger response in kind. What? Did he just say we will launch nukes or use chemical weapons? What did he say? Does he know what he said? We do know Biden plans to go all green for U.S., even though we're only responsible for 6% of the emissions. He'd much rather let other countries pollute the world. So if 95% of the world is polluting while they're drilling for oil and gas, we sit here and just have to wait to have it imported, becoming reliant upon them. My guest today, Gordon G. Chain, China expert. We'll look at China, Ukraine, Russia, but also China's plan for our country. Oh, they have a plan. You're not going to possibly like it. Well, I know you won't like it. Oh, and Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, I wonder if she's decided yet what is a woman. Apparently, USA Today is quoting a biologist saying, well, even a biologist can't really tell you what a woman is. Are we that stupid nowadays? Oh, and then Leah Thomas, of course, getting another trophy. She didn't really get the trophy. She was sharing it with another, but then she was asked to, you hold the trophy, we'll let the other participant that tied with you hold another trophy. They just wanted to focus more on her, didn't they? And her video picture was photoshopped to make her look more feminine. Lock and load. Ready on the right. For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've warned about the real threat of chemical weapons being used. Have you gathered specific intelligence that suggests that President Putin is deploying these weapons, moving them into position, or considering their use? And would the U.S. or NATO respond with military action if he did use chemical weapons?
You know, on the first question, I can't answer that. I'm not going to give you intelligence data, number one. Number two, we would respond. We would respond if he uses it. The nature of the response would depend on the nature of the use.
Well, that was President Biden during a Q&A session. A reporter asking about what if Russia escalates to using chemical, maybe nuclear weapons? Will you tell us what you would do? Now, first of all, I want to emphasize to you, I had the same rules for Trump, and I do for every president. You don't ever tell your enemy exactly what you will or you will not do, or set a timetable. Or if you set a timetable, as Trump did for withdrawing from Afghanistan, you make it contingent upon certain conditions. If these conditions aren't met, then we're not going to be leaving by that date. That takes us back to the debacle in Afghanistan. Trump was going to pull troops out of Afghanistan, and I was certainly in favor of it. Yes, yes, we had lost some of our finest men and women on those battlefields and are carrying injuries with them for the rest of their lives, but it was time to leave. We cannot police the Middle East. It is a hellhole you don't want to go into again. If you can avoid it, they have been fighting each other for Old Testament times and before, and it's never going to change. You're not going to change anything. And I don't want to sacrifice more lives in the process. I feel for those caught under those Taliban rules and so forth. I do. And, of course, I'm extremely upset the way Biden decided he was going to shove through, we're going to leave by a date he put on the calendar and said we're sticking with it. He refused, apparently, to listen to his generals at the time, saying we're going to need more time, we need to do this, do that. And he said, no, now, which meant we had to abandon Bagram Air Force Base in the middle of the night. When the word got around, Afghans realized we no longer have air cover and protection from the Air Force, and we need to get out of the country. The only airport running then was the one in the center of Baghdad, which created an opportunity for terrorists to strike, which they did. And now the Taliban still hold how many Americans behind the lines? We don't know. We don't know. And they want you to just kind of forget about it and move on. Easy for them to say and for you to accept unless you have a fellow friend, family member still behind those lines. And including the Afghans we promised we'd give protection to. But of course, in a way, Biden won't say, well, really, all that started, that was not on my watch when it started. No, but you were also VP when it was underway with Obama. Aside from that, this incident is on your watch. And this probably would not have happened if you'd learned to speak clearly and distinctly and not toy around with Russia saying, well, if there's a minor incursion into Ukraine. In other words, the door is partly open. Come through it if you want. So we have Ukraine going on like it is. Plus the decision by the Biden administration to make the U.S. and other countries go green, pie in the sky. And, of course, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline, shut down oil leases and so forth. Oh, now, they're going to lie to you. They're going to lie to you and say, oh, there are a lot of leases. The oil companies aren't doing their work. I'm going to get into that in the next segment because it is an out-and-out lie. Believe me, I grew up in West Texas, a son of an oil field worker, oil field trash, and proud of it. And now we're going to break down exactly what's happening when they tell you that lie. But in this question, Biden being asked, what would you do? And he's promising allies would respond if Russia uses chemical weapons against Ukraine. He said it would trigger a response in kind. Whether or not you're asking whether NATO would cross, we'd made that decision at the time, or would make that decision at the time. That's pretty definitive. If you believe him and you believe the U.S. And I will tell you this, I believe the world as a whole, we have lost so many that believe the U.S. would have their back and stand behind them and do what we say we would do. And I understand they have valid reason to question. And of course, don't forget, Biden was always of the attitude and the opinion that sanctions would shut everything down before it happened. Remember, he started talking about we will impose sanctions. And the idea there that we would have a way to stop Putin from ever even thinking about going into Ukraine because of sanctions. So he gets the question raised also by a reporter about, you said sanctions would do this, and Biden did not take kindly.
Let's get something straight. You remember, if you covered me from the very beginning, I did not say that, in fact, the sanctions would deter him. That's not what I said. You're playing a game with me. I know. The answer is no. I think what happens is we have to demonstrate the purpose. The single most important thing is just to stay unified.
Huh. We just stay unified. And you're playing games with me. You're playing games with me. I never said that. You never said, did you at least indicate it? Well, here's this clip of several White House-related employees, beginning with Jen Psaki and concluding with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, on after Biden briefed them on what he was going to do about sanctions, how they came out and presented that sanctions would be the magic salve for all of your injuries and threats against Russia. I mean, do you hear them say it? This very fact that he was going to threaten to put deterrence in place, it would put Russia and Putin back in a corner where they would be so frightened.
Yes, our intention is to have a deterrent effect.
The president believes that sanctions are intended to deter.
The purpose of the sanctions, in the first instance, is to try to deter Russia from going to war.
The allied relationship is such that we have agreed that the deterrent effect of these sanctions is still a meaningful one.
See, they were all parroting what was coming out of the White House at that time. And, of course, since then, Biden has also said, we knew the deterrence wouldn't stop things. Then why would you put them in place? Which brings me to the other issue I have posted repeatedly with this audience, and you know it. And those of you who are joining us recently, first of all, thanks for joining us. You might have heard from friends or relatives about the program, and I truly appreciate it. But I've said repeatedly, when you threaten sanctions, you better be damn well ready to go forward with it. And then once you start them, that is before the war starts. That, you know, we're gonna do this if you come in. But once the first shot is fired, you don't go piece by piece bringing sanctions in. You put them all on the table. We're going to shut everything down. But what this administration has been doing, we're going to do this, and then it's not working. All right, well, let's try this one over here. All right, then, now let's add this one. Oh, and let's add this one, too. And we might have more. Put all of them on the table right now. Lives are at stake in Ukraine. We're not going to put boots on the ground. I'm thankful for that. I don't want that to happen. We don't want to have our Air Force fighters or even Air Force U.S. drones over the area providing air cover, because that would be seen by Putin as an escalation, and he might be just wild enough to go to the next level himself. Which, again, if you listen to Biden from earlier, he would trigger a response in kind, whatever the hell that means. But if we had made plans in advance, when we watched these troops amassing in Belarus and sent fighter jets in, landing them, and then our pilots leave, bring in planes that the Ukrainians are familiar with, or at least give them some quick training, and bring in weapons then while we're still trying to supposedly get them into the country. We still don't know how many are actually in the country. Oh, yeah, we've been told how much we're sending, but we don't know for sure how much has gotten inside, do we? And then the question itself, that Biden said, you're playing a game with me by asking that question. When the CBS reporter asked him about your sanctions, and your sanctions don't seem to be working, he said, oh, you're putting words in my mouth. You're playing games with me. I know what you're... Can we do that again? I want to hear Biden on the sanctions question one more time. I'm going to ask Mike to play that and get it once again clearly in your mind as to his response just to the question.
Let's get something straight. You remember, if you covered me from the very beginning, I did not say that, in fact, the sanctions would deter him. That's not what I said. You're playing a game with me. I know. The answer is no. I think what happens is we have to demonstrate the purpose, the single most important thing, is just to stay unified.
And then he starts changing the subject. But he did say they would deter. And did every member of his staff, including Nancy Pelosi, saying the same until they realized they didn't. Then they said, well, they're not really going to do anything. So the question itself, Joe Concha, who writes for The Hill and is a Fox News contributor, was asked, what do you think about the question and then Biden's response that, oh, you're playing games with me?
The imagine President Trump said that, where he says, you're playing a game with me. That would be considered a chilling attack of a member of the free press, followed by an analysis of Trump's mental health for acting in such a manner. Remember, this is the same Joe Biden who called Peter Ducey of this network a, quote, a stupid son of a female dog at the morning show. We'll leave it at that. And this is the same Joe Biden who challenged an 83-year-old Marine veteran to a push-up contest when asked a reasonable question at a town hall. So this is what he does. He gets very defensive in these situations. The question from CBS News there, in this case, was perfectly fair and relevant. But this is what happens when Mr. Biden takes a question from those who isn't on his predetermined list. Remember, he took that question yesterday as he was trying to leave and decided to call on somebody who he wasn't supposed to call on. And this is what happened.
Yeah, that's what happens. And to that point, we have mentioned before how many times Biden is given a list. He's even referred to it himself sometimes. He said, well, I need to go by the list I've been given of reporters to call on. How do you think you get on that list? You got to say, I'm going to ask a really nice softball question. I might ask him, what's his favorite ice cream on a Tuesday night? Is that okay? Okay, we'll put you on the list. Now, I would lie and do that. I would. I'd say, yeah, I'll ask that. And I would ask it. I would ask it because I said I would. And then I would ask a tough one. I had to do that one time with a state legislator in Texas. Would not do an interview. He said, I know what you're going to ask me about. I'm not going to respond to that. I said, well, I want to ask you, and I gave him something else. He said, okay, I'll talk about that. So I did ask that question. I did. Now, we're not live. We're on tape. I asked the question. And then I asked the other question. Well, it made for great TV. Turned on his heel and walked off. But dealing with Biden himself in this situation, here's a perfect example where he is going through a list of reporters. Listen to what Biden says here.
We would respond. We would respond if he uses it. The nature of the response would depend on the nature of the use. Josh Bloomberg.
He was looking down that list. Who's next on my list to call? Josh Bloomberg. Because Bloomberg's going to give him an easy question. Unbelievable. And then the lie they tell you about oil companies are not doing their job and blaming the Biden administration. You're going to hear from an Oklahoma Senator Lankford who knows the oil industry and how Biden is to blame with his energy policies.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Pure and simple, it's just optics at this point. Even the Biden administration's own numbers from EIA, the official agency that counts up what they predict will be the energy needs for the world and for the United States, that group from the Biden administration predicts we're going to have an increased need globally for oil, gas, coal, but the Biden administration has determined we're not going to produce that here. That's going to be produced somewhere else. We're going to try to meet our climate goals here in the United States, but we're not going to actually produce it here in the United States. We're going to import it. So the Biden administration is very focused right now on making it more expensive to do export of natural gas, harder to be able to do natural gas pipelines, harder to be able to do drilling, or impossible to be able to do drilling on federal lands as they continue to be able to block off new lease sales. And they hide behind that there are 9,000 leases out there, use those. They know the game with that, that there may have leased one plot of land and an oil or energy company is exploring in that area, but they're not going to do large amounts of capital for the whole region unless they can fill in the checkerboard that's around them and they can actually prepare for the future.
That is Senator James Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma. He was on Fox with Maria Bartiromo talking about the Biden energy fail and the lies that go with it. Western Europe right now is trying to decide what do we do with all the conditions placed on dealing with Russia with the Ukraine invasion. We're going to need fuel. We have to have it, not just for cars and transportation, but heavy machinery, things that keep things running on a constant basis. You ever stop and think about it? Not just your air and your heat, but everything else, processing, foods, manufacturing, getting stuff, all everything. You want to go back to before they even came up with the wheel? Can you imagine the first guy that came up with the wheel and everybody said, yeah, what's going to be used for that? Well, this is where we are right now when it comes to the Biden administration, so sold, in fact, being held hostage by the Green Group, that he's afraid to do anything that would help, one, those countries, and two, help us. Again, Senator James Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma, making it clear Biden is clearly a hostage.
So the Biden administration is very focused right now on making it more expensive to do export of natural gas, harder to be able to do natural gas pipelines, harder to be able to do drilling, or impossible to be able to do drilling on federal lands as they continue to be able to block off new lease sales. And they hide behind that there are 9,000 leases out there, use those. They know the game with that, that there may have leased one plot of land and an oil or energy company is exploring in that area, but they're not going to do large amounts of capital for the whole region unless they can fill in the checkerboard that's around them and they can actually prepare for the future. Biden administration knows that full well, but they continue to be able to say, well, we've done 9,000 leases, they're not using those yet, and they know the trick there. So this is all about meeting their climate goals. They seem to be in charge, but what's happening now is those climate activists are giving money to the Russians so they can murder their neighbors.
That's exactly what's happening. I let him repeat some of it again, because to make sure you understand, you got the oil lease. You go and you've paid for the lease, but you go and you sink the oil well. You dig into the ground. You put drilled into the ground. Maybe that's not going to be the best spot to put up the rig. So you have to move several hundred yards or half a mile, whatever away, then try again. That's how you do oil drilling. You don't just always drop a pipe into the ground and, whoop, there's oil. Doesn't always happen that way. It takes time and investment. The Democrats want to tell you the oil companies aren't working at it. They did during Trump. Why would they not now? Coming up, G. Gordon Chang, expert on China. What does China plan for the U.S. future? Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden costs. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
By the way, I should mention, reference President Biden. He made this remark. He was doing a briefing in Warsaw, Poland, and then he was almost kind of lamenting. Part of my disappointment is I can't see it firsthand like I have in other places. Talking about going in Ukraine. He said they will not let me, understandably, I guess, cross the border and take a look at what's going on in Ukraine. Unclear who he's referring to, but the president obviously is not likely to travel in Ukraine because, for security reasons, obviously. I don't want our president to be in jeopardy. But what gets me is that he's appearing with a Polish president and said, I want to see the humanitarian crisis firsthand. Well, part of that is involving watching all the refugees, something, the numbers are staggering. I mean, I'll tell you how far apart the numbers are. We've had 3 million reported, but then the UN came out yesterday, or some child welfare agency, and said there are 4 million children. Well, some numbers off. And 4 million children be about half of all the children in Ukraine. But anyway, Biden is seeing that part of the humanitarian, but he said, I really wanted to go into Ukraine and see it, but they won't let me. In other words, I would go. You know, I'm a big, strong, tough guy. I'm Joe Biden. I'll go in there. I'll go in there myself. I'll kick some Russian butt if I find it. Well, again, I don't want him going in there at this point. And if it's not fully secured for wherever he wants to go, obviously he can't do it. We're having trouble establishing our phone line with Gordon. Actually, we're not having trouble. We're calling the number we were given, but it's been on hold. And that's because I did get a late email that he was doing an interview with Fox News. Listen, the guys I booked for you for this program, they're wanted everywhere. We had that yesterday, James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation. He said, I gave up an interview with, or that's Fred Flights, actually, come to think of it. The American Policy Institute the day before said, I gave up an interview with Fox News so I could make sure I could be with you and honor your commitment. And Gordon was always been good. He's trying to wrap it up, but apparently they might be overextending theirs. Often when competing networks and our stations are trying to get the same person, the person might get overbooked, and they're trying to accommodate everyone. But then if the guy in the front does not go by the rules and starts extending the time and carries his interview or her interview longer than they should, then we don't get the guest. Gordon Chang, though, I'll give you a background. By the way, I encourage you to follow him on Twitter. You can follow him at Twitter, and he's, in fact, even put up on his own Twitter account, he's going to be on the program right now. Well, he's not, obviously. But it's Gordon, at Gordon G. Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, and you can pull it up and check out his following. He's an expert on China. He actually lived and worked in mainland China and Hong Kong for almost 20 years. So he knows the culture, he knows what's going on there, and he knows and has pointed out to us in prior interviews, this is the same guy that also gives briefings to the National Intel Council, the Central Intelligence Agency, and the U.S. State Department, and the Department of Defense, and the U.S. House Committee on Foreign Affairs. So he knows of what he speaks. He's making it very clear that China is a clear and present danger for the U.S. Now, with Russia and Ukraine going on, in a prior interview, it indicated to me, obviously, they are closely watching because they had their eyes on territories they want to reclaim. Keep in mind, Putin is going into Ukraine because it was part of the original USSR, and he wants that put back together. Putin already said the breakup of the USSR, which was not on his watch, was the greatest political, geopolitical mistake in history. So he wants it all back. So that's why he's going into Ukraine. China also has claims on some lands like Hong Kong and Taiwan it wants to have back. So they're watching to see how this administration in particular is handling it and what's going to happen then and what we do or don't do. The other issue, though, is what is China's plan for the U.S.? Well, they have plans for us. You might not, let me put it this way. I know you're not going to like what their plans are, because their plan for America, for the world, is dominance. Chinese communist dominance. Brookings Institute, one of their authors pointing out about China's grand stance to the long game and their strategy, displace American order. And he said in 1872, there was a writing about a historic upheaval when a general, an official, dedicated much of his life to reforming a dying empire. Li Hongzhang, I hope I pronounced it right, often compared to his contemporary, Otto von Bismarck at that time, the architect of the German unification and national power. The idea was we will control all of the world. Xi Jinping, the current leader, he's made it very clear that the world is in the midst, and I'm quoting, great changes unseen in a century. China's growing power, and also watching the West at this point self-destruct, which is what we're pretty much doing, it all works to China's advantage. This is, again, according to the Brookings Institute, a think tank that kind of tries to evaluate, stay on top of foreign affairs. And they look at what happened in June 2016, the United Kingdom leaving the European Union. And then later, Donald Trump being elected president of the U.S. From China's perspective, in the words of the opinion writer for Brookings, these two events were shocking, and Beijing believed that the world's most powerful democracies were beginning to withdraw from the international order that they'd helped erect erect abroad. And we're basically going to just deal with what's at home. Used to be we'd call those folks nationalists. They didn't want to have anything to do with anyone outside their border. That is not us. We are more than willing to work with people outside our border. Trump was willing to do that, but he made it very clear for those who were upset that he was taking sometimes such fundamental attitudes that we may withdraw from NATO if these other countries aren't going to pay their fair share. Immediately he got chastised. How, you can't do that. You can't withdraw from NATO. Well, the point he was making is then pay your fair share. And NATO actually ended up appreciating Trump's stance because the countries began to pony up more money, making NATO stronger. But he also pointed out, I'm not elected president of the world. I'm elected president of the United States. But yet China sees, and I know the Democrats are going to love this, they play off of it, Trump's election is good for them. But that's just one small mark in their long game of the grand strategy to displace American order. Riddle me this. If China thought it was a good idea with Trump being elected, show that it's drawing back more nationalistic, what do you think they believe about Biden? Now, Biden is all in on worldwide green, everything else, and actually, in many cases, abandoning the things that make us strong in our nation, such as energy independence. When you're energy independent, and of course you have a strong military, you don't have to worry about what someone else is going to do. Now, of course, we hope we never have to use our military in some really threatening situations that would threaten the entire world. We hope we don't, but you have it there just to say, don't mess with me. We're not going to be able to get Gordon. He's just apparently too booked up on the Fox thing. But let me conclude my thought about why we have so many weapons and try to have more, or need more, need to be ready. China is doing better than we are on building their military. It's like the guy that gets stopped by the trooper. He says, you got a gun? Yeah, I got a gun on my hip. Yeah, okay, what? I got 38. I got a 45 under the other seat. I've got another pistol in the glove compartment. I've got two shotguns in the back. I've got an AK-47 in the trunk. I've got three more hunting rifles back there. And the trooper says, "What? So many guns. What are you afraid of?" And the man says, not a damn thing. That's why you have the military. Stand by for the second hour, please. Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So again, I just got an email from Gordon G. Chang, and he said we were just having some troubles, I guess, getting through. I'm not sure what it was, but I do appreciate his time as always. We'll try to book it again, and I do encourage you again to check his credentials out and go to his Twitter account, G. Gordon Chang. At Gordon G. Chang, I should point out. Daryl asks, ISA, Republican of California, is gearing up to deal with the laptop from hell. Now that the New York Times has finally admitted yeah, we did bunked it and said it wasn't real and it was all Russian collusion stuff back when Joe Biden was running against Trump. But now we're willing to say it's real. So ISA submitted document preservation notices to 12 individuals from the intel community, plus the White House, plus Facebook and Twitter. He's demanding former Department of National Intel boss James Clapper, who is one of the ones defending Russian collusion stories. He was one of the ones who would go and testify behind closed doors to Adam Schiff's attorney committee and come out and say, well, I can't really tell you exactly what I said. It can't be released at this time, but it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad for Trump. It's going to get bad. And then when the transcripts and everything were cleared for release weeks, months later, he basically had the attitude under oath, I don't know nothing. I know nothing. Well, he's demanding that Clapper appear and preserve all documents. And former CIA head John Brennan doing the same thing. And White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. And numerous others, including Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg. That's Facebook. You know, they've changed around. And Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. All of them preserve any documents relating to their involvement in suppressing the New York Post expose on the Hunter Biden laptop in the lead up to the 2020 presidential election. Now, Breitbart News had reported 2 days ago that House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy announced House Republicans had sent dozens of preservation notices across to the federal government to various agencies. And now ISA, his letters listing various characters, demanding the recipient immediately initiate document preservation. Don't be taking your cell phone out in the parking lot and hammering it repeatedly, as we were told members of Hillary Clinton's staff did, fearful that something on their cell phone might link them to a true conspiracy of her own. And, of course, when she did show up to testify before the FBI in a session set up one Sunday afternoon when everybody was preoccupied with other stuff, it was kind of, let's meet for a brunch type thing. And if any tough questions came up, she said, well, you know, I did fall and hit my head. There's some things I might not fully remember. All of this dealing with that computer she had at her house, supposedly, that she said, I submitted all the important documents. I only trashed and got rid of those regarding Chelsea's wedding and curtains and stuff like that. Well, ISA's made it very clear, and so has Kevin McCarthy. We want all these documents and letters. We want them preserved. Your served notice do not destroy anything. And remember, when the Post broke the story about Hunter Biden's laptop, how big tech immediately shut down the ability to, the Post couldn't even share a link to the story. Called it all misinformation. Just like they have been saying about anything else that doesn't fit their narrative. I got ahead of myself in the last segment saying I hope you stick around for the next hour. Well, I do want to say that again, because we're going to get into this parent in Georgia calling out the school board for allowing some books to be given to high school students, and yet she's not even allowed to read them because it might be harmful to children. Oh, you don't want to miss this story. Coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.